furious at Khan for bringing the Brotherhood to the brink of destruction, furious at herself for following him there, and furious at Bane. There was no doubt in her mind that he had somehow orchestrated all this. He had manipulated Khan and the rest of the Brotherhood, driving them toward their own destruction. Yet that betrayal wasn't what enraged her. Bane had abandoned her. He'd cast her aside with the others, leaving her to die, while he went off to rebuild the Sith. Ahead of her, the tunnel branched in two directions. She paused, drawing on the Force to heighten her senses in the hope she might find some hint as to which path to take. At first there was nothing. Then, she caught the faintest whisper of a breeze coming from the tunnel on the left. The air smelled fresh and clean. It led to the surface. As she raced up the passage, her frustration and rage fell away. She was going to survive. The uneven ground began to slope sharply upward, and she could see a hint of natural light far in the distance. She redoubled her efforts, and her thoughts turned to how she would exact her revenge. She would have to be subtle and cunning. She'd underestimated Bane too many times in the past. This time, she would be patient, not striking until she was certain the moment was right. The first step was to find him and offer to be his apprentice. There was no doubt in her mind he would accept. He needed someone to serve him. It was the way of the dark side. She would learn at his feet, subjugating herself to his will. It might take years, maybe decades, but in time, he would teach her everything he knew. Only then, after all his secrets were hers, would she turn on him. She would become the master and take an apprentice of her own. Escape was less than 50 meters away when Githany felt the first effects of the thought bomb. It began with a trembling in the ground. Her initial instinct was fear of a groundquake or a cave-in that would bury her beneath tons of dirt and stones within sight of the surface. But when she felt the power of the dark side rushing up the passage toward her, she realized she was about to suffer a far more horrible fate. Those at the epicenter of the blast had been vaporized. Caught on the fringes of the thought bomb's radius, Githany was not so lucky. The wave of pure dark side energy swept over her an instant later. It tore through her like some terrible wind, sucking the essence of life from her body and ripping her spirit from its corporeal shell. Her flesh withered and shrank. Her beautiful features mummified before she even had time to scream. And then, as quickly as it had come, the wave had passed. For one frozen moment, her lifeless husk stood in perfect balance before it toppled and struck the ground, disintegrating into ash. On the surface many kilometers away, Farfalla and the other Jedi felt the ground shake, and they knew their general was no more. A moment later, their minds erupted with the tortured screams of the Jedi and Sith caught up in the blast, the life force ripped away and sucked into the vacuum at the heart of the blast. Many of the Jedi wept in anguish, understanding how great the sacrifice of their fallen comrades had been. The spirits of the dead were bound for all eternity, forever frozen in stasis. Master Valentine Farfalla, now the leader of what remained of the Army of Light, felt the sorrow as deeply as any of them. But this was not the time for grief. With General Hoth's passing, the burden of command was his to bear, and there were things that still needed to be done. "Captain Hadoran, assemble a team," he ordered. "We're going to search the area in and around the tunnels for survivors." He knew no living creature could have withstood the power of the thought bomb, but it was possible a few of the Sith might have fled before the detonation. After all that had been sacrificed, he had no intention of letting any of the Brotherhood escape. The captain gave him a quick salute and turned to go. Just before he left, Farfalla added, "And have your troops keep an eye out for the bouncers. The last Sith ritual drove them to madness. Who knows what this one did to them?"
"And if we spot them, sir?"
"Shoot to kill." Many kilometers in the opposite direction, Darth Bane also felt the reverberations of the blast. He sensed the wave of dark side energy pass over him, strong enough to leave him shivering even at this distance. Once it was gone, he reached out with the force to seek out any who might have escaped. As he expected, he felt nothing. They were all gone. Khan, Kopej, Githany, all of them. The Brotherhood of Darkness had been purged. As far as the Jedi knew, the Sith were now extinct. Bane intended to keep it that way. He was the only Dark Lord of the Sith, the last of his kind. The burden of rebuilding the Order would fall to him, but this time he would do it right. Instead of many, there would be only two, one master and one apprentice, one to embody the power and one to crave it. To survive, the Sith had to vanish, becoming creatures of myth, legend, and nightmares. Hidden from the eyes of the Jedi, they could seek out the lost secrets of the dark side until its full power was theirs to command. Only then, once victory over their enemies was certain, would they tear aside the veil of shadows and reveal themselves. The path ahead would be long and difficult. It might take years or decades before they could strike at the light once more. Perhaps even centuries. But Bane was patient. He understood what was to come and what must be done. Though he himself might not live to see the triumph of the dark side, those who followed him would carry on his legacy. Someday in the distant future, the Republic would fall, and the Jedi would perish, and the entire galaxy would bow down to a Dark Lord of the Sith. It was inevitable. It was the way of the dark side. Satisfied that his work on Rusan was done, he began the long hike to where he'd hidden his ship. He knew the remaining Jedi would come looking for survivors, but by the time they arrived, he would be long gone. Still, one thing troubled him. In order for all this to come to pass, he had to find a suitable apprentice. One strong in the Force, but not yet tainted by the teachings of the Jedi. Somewhere he needed to find a child, worthy of becoming heir to all the power of the dark side. Epilogue. Rain stirred in her sleep, yet didn't wake. Someone was calling to her, but she didn't want to answer. In her dreams, she could imagine she was still back home with her cousins, enjoying a simple but happy life. If she woke, she knew she'd have to face the truth. That life was gone forever.
Wake, Rain.
It had vanished the moment that the Jedi, Master Tor, his name had been, had recruited them to join the Army of Light. She hadn't even really wanted to join. But Bug and Tomcat, her cousins, were both going. They were her only family, and she didn't want to be left behind. She was young, only 10, but she was strong in the Force, and so Master Tor had let her come too. He had told them he was taking them to Rusan, where they would become Jedi. Only that never happened. Their shuttle had been attacked as soon as they entered the atmosphere. What occurred next was just a blur, but she remembered an explosion and screams. One wing of the ship had sheared away and suddenly she was falling. The smoking wreckage of the shuttle became a speck in the sky above her as it spiraled off out of control and she fell down, down, down until... Rain, wake! La! La had saved her. And it was La who was calling to her now. Slowly she opened her eyes and sat up, still groggy.
Rain slept long. Now Rain must wake. I'm up, La, she said to the bouncer hovering above her.
La had saved her from that fall, catching her as she plummeted from hundreds of meters above Rusan's surface.
Bad dreams, Rain.
No, she replied. Not bad dreams, La. I dreamed I was back home.
La never actually spoke to her. She only heard the words inside her head. They communicated through the power of the Force, La had once explained to her. But whenever Rain answered, she always voiced the words aloud.
Bad dreams coming.
Rain frowned. trying to figure out exactly what Law was trying to tell her. Sometimes when the bouncers talked about dreams, they actually meant something else. Sometimes it was as if the bouncers had visions of the future. She remembered what Law had said just before the entire forest had exploded in flames.
Bad dreams, Rain. Death dreams.
The fires had killed most of the other bouncers. The survivors had all gone mad. All except La. Somehow Rain had saved her. She'd used the Force, shielding them both from the burning death and destruction, though she wasn't quite sure how she'd done it. It had just sort of happened. Now she and La had nobody left but each other.
Bad dreams coming,
the bouncer repeated. A few hours earlier, she had felt something strange, the ground rumbling beneath her feet as if something had exploded far, far away. Was this what Law was talking about? Was this the bad dream? Or was her friend trying to warn her about something that hadn't happened yet?
I don't understand, she said, looking around at the bushes surrounding the clearing where she had lain down to sleep.
She didn't see anything out of the ordinary. Not yet, anyway.
Goodbye, Rain.
There was an aching sorrow in Law's words that stabbed through Rain's heart like a knife, but she still didn't know what the bouncer was talking about. Before she could ask, there was a sound from the bushes. She spun around to see two men come crashing into the clearing. She could tell right away they were Jedi. They wore the same brown robes as Master Tor, and she saw lightsabers dangling from their belts. Each one also carried a large blaster rifle. Bouncer! One shouted. Look out! They reacted so quickly their motions were nothing but a blur as they opened fire. By the time the scream left Rain's lips, her friend was already dead. She was still screaming when the first Jedi ran up to her.
Are you okay, little one?
He asked, reaching down. Instinctively, she lashed out at him.
She didn't know how she did it. It wasn't even a conscious thought. She only knew he had shot her friend.
He had killed Law!
What's the matter?
His voice was cut short as she snapped his neck with the Force. The eyes of his companion went wide in horror, but before he could do anything else, she had broken his neck too. Only then did Rain stop screaming. Instead, she began to cry. Great heaving sobs that racked her body as she crawled over to press herself against the soft green fur of Law's still warm body, where it had fallen to the ground. Bane found her there. A young human child, weeping over the remains of one of Rusan's native bouncers. The corpses of two young Jedi lay nearby, their heads twisted at obscene angles to their bodies. It took him only an instant to piece together what must have happened. The girl looked up at him as he approached, her eyes puffy and red. He guessed she was 9, maybe 10 at the most. He could feel the power of the Force burning in her, fueled by grief and rage and hatred. Even if he hadn't sensed it, the broken Jedi at her feet gave mute testament to her abilities. He didn't speak, but stood silently. The girl's sobbing stopped. She sniffled and wiped her nose with the back of her hand. Then she rose to her feet and took a tentative step toward him.
Who are you?
He demanded, his voice deep and threatening. She didn't retreat or flee, though her reply was hesitant.
My name is Rain. Zana. My cousin used to call me Rain, but they're dead now. Zana's my real name.
Bane nodded, understanding completely. Rain, a nickname, a name of childhood and innocence, an innocence now lost.
Do you know who I am?
He asked. She nodded and took another step forward.
You're a Sith.
You're not afraid of me?
No.
She insisted with a shake of her head, though Bane knew she wasn't being completely honest. He could feel her fear, but it was buried beneath far stronger emotions. Grief, anger, hatred, and the desire for revenge.
I have killed many people,
Bane warned her.
Men, women, even children.
She shuddered but held her ground.
I'm a killer, too.
Bane glanced over at the Jedi corpses, then turned his focus back to the little girl standing defiantly before him. Was she the one? Had the Force led him along this route back to his ship? Had it brought him here at this exact moment simply so he could find his apprentice? He asked the final, most important question.
Do you know the ways of the Force? Do you understand the true nature of the dark side?
No,
Rain admitted, never dropping her gaze from his own.
But you can teach me. I'm young. I will learn.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Darth Bane, Path of Destruction, a novel of the Old Republic, by Drew Karpyshyn. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars, Darth Bane, Path of Destruction is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.